Brilliance Audio. The Night I Died by Anne Fraser. Performed by Barry Krynick. 1. Private Investigator Olivia Wells had died 5 times so far in her life. The first happened on a dark night in Kansas when she was a kid. The others took place on the operating table over the years. 5 deaths were nothing, really. And at her current age of 38, she figured she might have a few more left in her. Could she break the record? Doubtful. She'd found a man in the UK who'd died 32 times. 32. That research led her down a rabbit hole of actors and actresses who'd met their makers on screen. Shelley Winters, 20 times. Julianne Moore, 17. Sigourney Weaver, 12. Dying was no big deal in either real or pretend life. Olivia's assistant, Ezra Tobias Raphael III, had died twice, both of those from a heroin overdose. He tried to claim a third, the time he got a skittle stuck in his throat and dropped straight to his knees, unable to breathe. But she'd pointed out that his heart hadn't stopped beating before she'd performed the Heimlich maneuver. Almost dying didn't count. It was all about flatlining. And being pronounced dead? That gave a person some serious dead cred. She hurried down the steps of her bungalow, a rolled mat tucked under her arm. Venice Beach and morning yoga awaited a few miles away. When Ezra found the class and signed her up, they'd both laughed about how California the idea of beach yoga was, yet she was surprisingly looking forward to it. She needed a mental break. The past year hadn't been an easy one. Both her father and her black lab had died within months of each other. She wasn't sure which hurt the most. It should have been her father, but if she were honest, it was her sweet lab and companion of 9 years. She'd named him Cecil Hotel after working a case there and finding him in a trash container, just a puppy. Many people didn't understand the bone-deep level of grief that came with the loss of a pet of any kind. The bond, the years, that friend living your various lives right alongside you. Then, gone. Her phone rang. She should let it go to voicemail. This was her time, her day. But years in the detective business made ignoring a call a hard thing to do. She pulled out her phone and checked the screen. Finney County Jail, Kansas. Her stomach dropped. It wasn't unusual for her to get calls from jails and prisons, but this was the first time she'd gotten one from Kansas. Uncomfortable with the idea of talking to a potential client on the sidewalk, she turned and strode back to the house, dreading the discovery of the name of the person on the other end, while also having a good idea who it was. "Hello?" Olivia said. No response. She kept walking. Olivia and Kansas had a history, which was especially odd since she could recall nothing of the time she'd lived there as a child. Didn't matter. Kansas was an undeniable part of her. She felt branded by it, some strange place she couldn't recall. While her first memories were of California, there had always been something inside that felt incomplete, the pull of a darker, unknown land and an unknown history and legacy. Something more of the earth, deep, that harkened back to her ancestors, of whom she knew little about. Kansas held the allure of an unremembered loss. Her inability to recall any of it made it even more mysterious, almost mythical. A life she'd heard about, read about, but one that didn't seem real. If not for her damaged and repaired body, along with yet another surgery scheduled, she'd have no proof the car-train collision had ever really happened. Just a story. But it had happened, and it had destroyed her father, who'd been the town coroner at the time. How horrible to have gone to the site to find his own family there. It was the thing nightmares were made of. Her mother had lived a week. Sometimes Olivia wondered if that had made it worse. Maybe it would have been better if she'd died immediately. "You're lucky you don't remember any of it, Peanut," her father used to say. "It's a blessing." In the today.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?